You know, a lot of you know that as we've been doing this series entitled Returning to Our Roots, that we've been reflecting at the book of Acts and what the church looked like. And I'm just going to pray for the Lord to give me grace to begin to kind of articulate some of these things that have been weighing on my heart for years. The Lord, even now for a good 10 years, and especially the last 4 or 5 years, has really been challenging me in my perspective of what the church is and what it looks like, and what the New Testament church was and looked like, and discovering, you know, these were light things in my heart where I felt like the Lord dropped in my heart years ago, especially about 4 or 5 years ago. Read the book of Acts again, look at the early church, and does the church look like that? And I'm going, oh, that sounds like fun. And then it messed me up. It just totally messed me up. Because God wants to restore the beauty of the bride of Christ, in glory and splendor. And I believe with all my heart that he's going to do that before he returns. It's probably going to be in the midst of persecution and some difficult things going on in the world, but there is going to be a beauty that's going to come back to the bride. And I'm not trying to be critical of anything behind us, meaning our church life, what we've grown up in church. And my goal is not to criticize the past, but to be aware and maybe come to a place of faith that you believe that God is calling us into something new. And I believe that with all my heart. In praying about this, this is not going to be an eloquent sermon. I'm going to try to my very best to really share my heart today. I did a conference this week in Jackson Mill on the campground there. Some of you know where it is, and I was a speaker in my role as a chaplain, and I was to speak on how do you deal with loss. And so I had my PowerPoint program, you know, up on the screen, and I taught the class, and it went great. God was real gracious. And then we got to the end of the class, and we went around the room, and people began to share their experiences, what's been happening in their life, the losses that they are dealing with. And I heard story after story. I heard stories about, there was a young lady probably in her 20s that her best friend were her cousins, and she shared about how her aunt had kind of just went crazy, lost, you know, sanity in some ways, and locked all the doors in the house and set the house on fire and burn her family alive. And she's standing there bawling. And then another person talks about the people in their family that have committed suicide. And then we went to the next person and they talked about how many people in their family had drug overdoses and how many deaths of kids and young ones. And you know what? You have to understand, every one of these stories were West Virginia people. The people we're called to. And I'm not being critical of anything, but I'm standing there and I'm going like, what are we doing? What are we doing as the church? It's almost like we've created this institution thing and we try to bring people from the outside and try to stuff them in. This is just, you don't have to agree with any of this stuff today, okay? I'm just going to blubber, okay? But it's like we've created this institution and thing of the church, and we have it so regimented, and we try to stuff people in it that don't even know how they're going to make it through to today. Their marriages are falling apart. They're all the brokenness. They don't know how to get their kids off drugs. And we have kind of, I feel like sometimes we've lost what we're about and what, and I really believe God is wanting to radically shift our perspective. But we've got to be willing to do that. We've got to get back to the basics of who we are,
I mean, I'm not trying to get like overboard and get crazy, but like even like, what are we doing here right now? What are we doing? What are we here for? And one of the things we talked about this morning is that we, when you look at the book of Acts, that they were an apostate, and we, I know we throw around titles. It's not about being apostle, but it's about what they understood. The church was an apostolic center. And everybody, you know, thinks about, well, who's the apostle? Well, the word apostolic means that you're sent out ones. So basically, when we come together to get refreshed, renewed. We come together to get equipped and trained. We were talking about the differences of that. I think a great picture is equipped is a word in the Greek that has to do with being given something. But training then is how do you use what you've been given. I was watching on Labor Day. My daughter-in-law, Tony, over there was shooting a bow. She had a recurve bow, and she's shooting at this target. And so that was, she was equipped with this bow. And one of my cousins who shot bow for 40 years, Chris Mayall, it was a cousin of mine, and he came over, and with just simple 5-minute instructions, her shots were hitting the target in the center every time. That, what am I saying? I'm saying that God has given us a lot of gifts, and he's equipped us with a lot of things. I look around the room, and I just think about, man, there is so much gifting in this room. And all of them are different gifts. But now that we come here to be trained to do, to put those gifts into action, those gifts don't mean a lot when we're just sitting around like, well, I got a gift. Well, what are you doing with your gift? And so, there has always been something that it's, especially since I went to Christ for the Nations in 1991, and from that time till now, there's been a growing revelation and understanding of Acts chapter 3, verse 21, where, think about what it says here. He must remain in heaven till the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. So let's make that practical. God is restoring everything that he promised. And so the reality is that everything that God gave the church at the very beginning and the picture that we see of the church in the book of Acts and in the New Testament, God is restoring everything that the enemy that started in, it's, I mean, I hate to say it out loud because I know it, but it started with Catholicism and there was the robbing and taking away of what we were to be and to walk in. And even though that there's been from the time of the Reformation, the Renaissance, the Reformation, the, you know, Protestantism, that there has been a lot of giving it back. But the reality is still there's a whole nother level God's going to bring us into understanding. It's not about who's the reverend or even some title of pastor or whatever. It is about every believer being equipped to do what God's called them to do. If every one of us had the mentality that the reason that we come together in an apostolic gathering is that the fivefold ministry is equipping you and training you to do the work of the ministry. Years ago, I read a book by a man named Bishop Bill Hammond, and it's called The Saints Movement. He said the last great move of God on the earth will be called the Saints Movement. It won't be called the Apostles Movement, the Prophets. It's not going to be called any of those. It's going to be called the Saints, because you, the saints, me, a saint, is to do the work of the ministry. And so God is restoring everything back. And I'm saying this is, I only say what I really believe, okay? But I believe that there was a grace for a wineskin of the church that is behind us, that grace is not on that wineskin anymore, that he's pouring out new wine, yes, but there's got to be a new wineskin to contain that. And why? Because if we try to take, you go, well, we want revival. If we take, and what God wants to do in this last, what I believe, the last great move of God on the earth, if we try to take that new wine and put it in the existing wineskin, it will burst. And what we are seeing, a lot of things happening right now of the church bursting. And I know that we sometimes don't think of it this way, This is my perspective. Throw it away. This is God doing it. Everything that we see bursting right now in the church, all over America, all over the Western world, the church, it is God doing it. Why? Because God is dealing with the church first. I can go through a list. Some of you probably don't pay attention and care, but, I mean, you go through the list of the largest ministries in America right now. Hillsong, Gateway, Morningstar, IHOP. I can go Potter's House. I could go on for half an hour. I mean, there is a bursting going on. There has been so much attention placed on celebrity, making leaders celebrities and putting people on pedestals when it would not happen in an environment that is apostolic, because everybody understands that we're all called to do the work of the ministry. And yes, people, how many know, people fall, people sin, people fail. It's going to keep on happening. But we created an environment where everything isn't going to rise and fall on one person. And I was thinking about this in the book of Ecclesiastic. It says this. It said, I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time, there is for every purpose and every work. You know, that reminds me a lot of what the Apostle Peter said. He says, for it is time for judgment to begin in the house of the Lord. And then hillbilly phrase, if it's going to be rough for us, it's going to really be bad out there. Why? Because there's at least the blood of Jesus in this that's covering us. But God is not dealing with the church right now. Let me just even say it this way. We can think and do have a perspective sometimes that God can be angry towards sin. I understand that. But I want you to realize that God is judging the church right now because he loves the church so much. And he knows that we can't continue in the direction that we're going on. And it's a new day. It's a new time. So let me just say, just as emphatically as I can, that this is kind of like been bubbling in me for years, that God is changing things, changing the church in a lot of ways. We can't just revert back to what we've known. Yes, there is foundational things that we walk in, one of the best ways to say it is God saying to us, you have majored on the minors and you have minored on the majors. That we need to come back to the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing what we're called to do is to love people and to cast out demons and to pray for the sick and to disciple people in the Word of God. And we've made it about some kind of almost a, I don't know, like an entertainment thing here in America of what the church is. And this is what God called me into the ministry for when I was 19 years old. Next slide. Is I was laying on the floor, and is one of the most important encounters that I had that set my life on course was reading Isaiah. And God spoke it to me as real as could be, and it was prophesied over me that next week. And I'm telling you that I look back now when I was 19 and that word was given to me, and I thought I understood it, and I didn't understand it at all. Like, I understand what God's saying now. He is doing something new. And we might look at the landscape of the church. I was talking to a lot of, I use the word sons. I mean, they're young people that got saved when God was doing different things at different points in my life. And a lot of them are in ministry or in some way leadership in churches from all over the country. And they are discouraged. They are disillusioned. I mean, I know a lot of times people don't talk about the negative. Hey, this is where we're at. But I really believe what God is doing is when you are sick and tired enough that you're sick and tired of it being the way it is, then guess what? You're ready for change. And I want you to know there's something almost like an anointed thing coming out in my spirit when I say this, that God is ready to bring change to us. I believe that with all my heart. And I felt like the Lord gave me this word 3.5 years ago, and I shared it. And boy, now I look back and going like, yeah, I didn't even know I didn't even know a fraction of how much this was true. But is that the Lord is going to change the expression of Christianity in the earth. Now, I know that a lot of you are going like, well, I got to need to think on that. Well, you know, take some time to chew on it. There's a verse that's kind of obscure that really has impacted me in its book Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Look what it says. It said, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come." Last part of that verse. "And his wife has made herself ready." Who is the Lamb's wife? We are. That's the marriage supper of the Lamb. Right before, you see this picture in the book of Esther and other, right before the wedding, there's this preparation. I believe with all my heart that God is, in this hour, is going to prepare his bride. We are going to engage with God and make ourselves ready. Now, I wrote this 3.5 years ago. Great change will come over the next decade. This was a very strong prophetic word. I had about 25 to 30 people in a class, and the Lord, like, it had little to do as much about me teaching this as it was the Lord was cementing something in my heart that I, because of that, it led me to a place where I've got to resign the church. I got to do, because I've got to find out what is God doing and what direction is God going in this hour, because I want to be a part of it. Changing the understanding speaks of the way unbelievers perceive the church. Today, many see it as outdated, irrelevant, contrast to how it was viewed in the book of Acts. Changing the expression speaks of the way the New Testament church expressed its life together as people who are walking out the Sermon on the Mount in the power of the Spirit. I was thinking maybe next year we should probably just go back and do the whole Sermon on the Mount again. It'd be a good one, right? And so, the great change will come. The greatest corporate miracle in human history is the transformation of the end-time church from the majority walking in compromise to walking together as mature family and prepared bride. Now, I know that a lot of you might read that little paragraph there that's before those verses and like, oh, yes, that's it for me. This is it. This is where I believe God has us and where we're going is he's going to transform. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be people sinning still. But there's going to be a transformation in the bride of Christ that is going to be very dramatic in this last days. And it's going to be filled with the glory of the Lord. And it's going to lead to the coming of Jesus Christ. Revelation 19:7, we said that. John chapter 17, "And the glory which you gave me, I've given them that they may know, that they may be one just as we are one, that the world may know that you have sent me." The word "sent" there, guess what word it is? Apostolo. That the world has apostolically sent you. And this is going to be that transformation in the beauty, in the relationship, and the love of the Lord. But there's also going to be an understanding that when you go out every single day, your entire life, you are apostolo. You are sent out ones. And you have the ability to bring transformation in the lives of people because of what you carry. So, Acts chapter 4, the multitude, there was 5,000, were of one heart and one soul. They had all things in common, and with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection. Great grace was upon them all. This is what we should desire in our lives, our church. This should be where we're going and what we want. Now, what we have to understand understand the division, if you would, or the boundary, is that everything in Scripture says that ultimately it is leading to a beast system, that a demonic global system is going to happen. I believe that's clear. So what we're going to have to realize that even though there's going to be this maturity and this glory and the beauty of the bride is going to be in the midst of that, it's going to be in the midst of a very demonic world that is going to oppose you and oppose the church. And the reality is, if you are not part of I won't even go there. But anyway, that there's this opposition that is going to be, and this was prophesied by David. He prophesied that the nations would rise up in anger against Jesus' leadership. It even happens during the millennial reign. There's still, you know, that much, that they're going to rise up against Jesus, and they're continue to seek to remove the influence of his word from society. Kings speak of the heads of states, rulers include leaders in society, economics, education, military, sports, media. And this is coming from Psalms chapter 2. Look what it says. 1, why do the nations rage and people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Now, what you got to understand is that the bonds they're talking about here are not the bad thing, it's the good thing. It is the bonds of the Word of God and the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And so everything in culture has been leading us to this time in all society. It was by no happenstance that evolution and all these things that have been taught for generations are leading people into a culture where they deny the existence of God, and therefore any reference to God would be a bond or it would be a chain. And so they've done everything in culture to remove that. Don't say there's, you know, right and wrong. Don't say, you know, we're at a point now that we don't say there's a girl and a boy, you know, whatever it may be. These are being all cast off. They see God's word in a negative light. And there is this unholy agenda that is in the world, and it is accelerating to remove the Lord, the reality and revelation of the Lord. See, I don't want you to say, it's one thing I say in my mouth, oh, revival's coming, change is coming, the church is this. It's going to be in the midst of this. Going to be in the midst of a world that is broken. But the reality is the rage that is in the culture is escalating. It is directly motivated by demonic forces. It's directly motivated. And there is that rage is going to increase. For you to try to, you know, be PC or whatever in this culture, it's going to become more and more difficult. You've got to recognize it's not about even people, it's about what the enemy is doing in our culture. And it's all leading somewhere. Yay. So I'm going to say things that are kind of strange for a minute. And probably you won't hear a lot of other preachers say stuff like this, but I have been meditating and thinking and praying about this for years now. The escalating pressures and changes that are occurring in this hour will create the need for creative solutions and structure that will lead to change that God is ultimately orchestrating. What does that mean? That means that we got to start thinking out of the box. We got to start doing things out of the box. We have got to find the ways not to... what church growth and conferences that I went to for years, and I learned how to do it. There were 3 things that you focused on. How many butts you put in the seat, how much money you could bring in, and how big and nice your building was. Those were the 3 things. You focus on. And so what happened is we neglected the important stuff, like loving people, like building relationship, but like doing the hard things to get out there to touch the lives of people. And so I've been praying, Lord, I want to think out of the box. And I have all kinds of ideas that you don't care about. But we got to change. I'm not saying it's tomorrow that everything's got to change tomorrow. But I'm saying that as we look as a projection, as we move to the future as a believer, I don't care even what church you go to. We've got to change because it's a new day. One thing that in Psalms 27, the one thing that I will seek is to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire, to ask in his temple, in his presence. The sons of Issachar, the prophetic anointing that was upon them, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. I'll make it real practical and get people who, I'll make enemies. No, I'll make you think I'm weirder than I am. When Y2K came, all the churches around us were getting stocked up and ready and all kinds of stuff. We did nothing. Why? Because we did not feel like the Lord told us to do. But that is totally different in this hour. Right now, I won't even tell you because you already think I'm weirdo. But why? Because it's a different day. This is not 2000. And I'm hearing something very different from the Lord. And a lot of times, because I was discussing this with somebody in our body recently, and they go, well, as long as not fear motivated and fear, and it kept on saying, I'm not fearful at all. I had nothing to do with fear. I'm doing it because the Lord told me to do it, you know? And so what am I saying? I'm saying that even I was thinking about this morning. Mario Amarillo and Perry Stone were doing an interview that was just put out this morning. And Perry Stone was saying, we've got to start doing things that we never thought about before. Like, who are all the widows in your church? You need to write down the address and the phone number of all your widows, because if something happens or their needs arises, we need to make sure we're taking care of our widows. Why? Because that's what the Bible says to do. The Bible says do good to all, but especially the household of faith. That means that if you truly are called to this body and this is your home church, then you are responsible for everybody in this room, whether you like it or not. Not in like, you know what I mean by responsible, that we are to care for one another and take care of one another. And so, anyway, I don't know what I'm saying. There'll be increasing legal and social hostility to the church. Many ministries will be seeking new approaches to ministering churches. I've been investigating a lot of different things. One of the goals that I have is by the end of next year that I have house churches all throughout America that are connected via not just online, but a lot of different technology, so that we can start really discipling and have structures set up in case things change. But that we approach everything differently. Oh, so. Inquiring of the Lord for creative wisdom. I'm almost done, but let me just kind of, you can decide whether you want to hang around me after I do all this. number one, stewarding great growth, that the nets don't break. We function as intentional family of affection. What do I mean by that? I mean that the revival that we're praying for, we are not set up to receive. We have to mend our nets. We want to be able to sustain when that happens. See, I was thinking about this week. I was in a home and a family, and we have always the mindset, well, nobody cares about God and no one wants to. People are desperate people. There's such desperation, and I'm not offering them any kind of, like, I'm offering them Jesus. And you know what? They're not, and there is some, but there's a lot that are, their hearts are open. I think we're praying for, you know, what revival, the harvest is white. It's ripe. It's ripe for the picking. We got to be the laborers that go into the harvest. Instead of just that we gather on a Sunday morning, sing some songs and get a teaching, what are we doing? What are we, then, of course, training strategies to empower deep growth in prayer and the Word, in life and spirit. One of the things that is coming forefront back into the body of Christ, and a lot of the house church movements things going on in America right now, is deliverance. Deliverance is becoming back is a focus of that people need this ministry and set free. That's why I think it's so important, the manual, if he doesn't use this word, he'll say the book, but the manual that Pastor is writing right now, and my envisioned already seeing this as, you know, tons of home groups all over the country can be going through this manual. And it's not about just selling a book. It's about getting people free and seeing the lives of people change. And these are going to be the type of resources that apostolic hubs are going to be able to create. We got to think outside the box. Mobilizing ministry to provide setting to do lifestyle ministry together. I just have to be careful what I say. I want to go so far. But effective communication, developing systems that are relational while still utilizing technology, connecting relationally to people. This has got to primarily come back in the focus. Your love for one another will prove that the world that you are my disciples. And then also living from that relationship. Because folks, I really believe that loving your enemies has never really been truly tested by a lot of us, but is going to come into play soon. That we are going to have to learn to love our enemies. Love your enemies, bless those that curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who persecute you, that you might be the sons of your Father. And then this is the last one. Corporate organizational titles have got to go, and we've got to get back to what the New Testament says in the structure of the church, in the function of the church. The institutionalization of the church is what is one of the primary things that's killing us. I understand that we have to have administration, we have to have bills paid, we have to do those things, but the structure is not there to be served. The structure is to serve people. The structure is to serve and reach people. So anytime I know that Heather would shoot me if I did this, but we built a brand new building in northern Idaho, and I was pastoring there, and I began to already hear people say, you're going to smudge that, or, you know, a kid would run, and there would be, I got up and preached that next Sunday. It's all about people, and poured a cup of coffee on the carpet. Now, of course, you know, then I had to stain carpet, so, you know, but it was to say, this building is nice, I'm glad we got it, but it's not about the building, it's about people and reaching people. So, and then the last thing, safety and provision, discovering ways to function if there ends up being issues with cash and stuff in the future, and shortages and those kind of things, and that the church becomes a hub to help reach the, and I know when I bring up that, a lot of you, you know, could go like, oh, yeah, well, I don't know what to say. Noah could have just said, well, God will protect me when the flood comes. But he started building a boat, right? And so the things that I do, I don't do it out of fear. I do them because the Lord told me to do them. But then also, I want to take that further, that I want to be able to help others too. And Lord, we just ask you, as I've shared my heart today, that if people really believe, if people heard this and thought, well, that's not for me, that's their decision between you and them, God. But Lord, if there's people that say, yeah, things got to change. Things need to change, and God's bringing change. And then, Lord, one of the things that I've been so careful in this season is you told me not to get ahead of myself, or not to go forward in anything that may be in my heart until you say it's time. A chronos time, the timing of God. Remember what the prophetic, the Issachar people, they knew times and seasons. You can't, it'd be like if you were in swimming trunks when it's below zero and snowing and blowing, or have a parka on when it's 100 degrees. It's a different season. And I just really feel like, with all my heart, that this is a prophetic word from the Lord, that it's a
brand new season. And in this season, God will make rivers in the desert, and He'll make a road in the wilderness. We thank You, God. We don't want to just go through the routine of being a Christian. We want to be in the middle of what You're doing in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen.